I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. A lot of church-going people have not understood. They try to leave everything up to God and imagine that everything that happens or doesn't happen is somehow God's perfect preordained will. But that's just not what the Bible teaches and reveals. The scripture tells us, and you know, when Jesus was on the earth ministering to people, how many times did he say, according to your faith, as you have believed? I mean, he said this repeatedly. What's that letting you know? In fact, when they brought, you know, the man brought his son that was having seizures to Jesus, and he said, if you can do anything, have compassion on us, help us. And the Lord immediately said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And so you'll find that the enemy has deceived a lot of people, even a lot of church-going people, that it's all up to God, and that all we can do is what they'd say, hope and pray. And what they mean by that is beg and wait. But that's not faith. Begging is not faith. And just trying to leave everything up to God, you can't leave up to God what he left up to you. And you know, a lot of folks are like somebody playing a board game, like checkers or chess. And they're saying, you know, well, go ahead and move already. And eventually they go, I already moved. It's your move. And that's exactly where a lot of people are going, oh, God, when are you going to move? When are you going to move? And the truth is, he already moved.
Amen.
Right? And what a move. The move was Jesus.
Amen.
He took our sins. He bore the chastisement of our peace. He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, carried our pains, became poor that we might be rich. He's already moved.
Amen.
And so again and again, the thing is, it's our move. Are we going to believe it? Are we going to receive it? Are we going to act on it? That's where faith comes in, which is why we're so big on faith. Why we have faith school. Why we keep talking about it. Why? Because you don't have to work on God to get him to do his part. He's faithful.
Yes.
You can count on him.
Amen.
He's already done everything that needs to be done. And when we respond and believe and receive, he will cause it to come to pass. You can count on him.
Amen.
How many think you can count on him?
Yes.
We don't need to work on God's part. We need to work on our part. Our part is faith. And tell me how faith comes. Anybody remember that part?
Hear.
Huh? Not by begging, right? But by hearing something. And faith in God comes from hearing what God said. And so let's release our faith again today for that very thing to happen. Father God, we are so thankful that you know us, you love us, you care about us, you've chosen us, you've drawn us to yourself and received us because of what the Master Jesus has done. Open our ears to hear great things from your word. Open our eyes to see and our heart to understand. Quicken us, Lord, by your Spirit, that our faith may be fed and grow and flourish, and that we may lay hold of all that it is your will for us to have, all you've already provided, and that we may overcome and we may please you well in all things. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Would you go please to the book of Psalms, to the 23rd Psalm. We've been on a series for a few weeks now. We're in the early days of it, that we're calling faith for provision. Faith works the same in every area, but it has to be fed in each area. All of us are stronger in faith in some areas than we are in others. All of us. And the reason that is because your faith has been fed more in some areas, and you've used it more in some areas than you have others. So if you find yourself weak in faith in an area, and somebody says, well, how would you know you're weak in faith? It's not hard to spot. If you're weak in faith about something, you just think it's too hard, it can't happen, you feel hopeless about it and helpless, and you feel like a victim and all that kind of stuff, you're not being very overcomery. You are an overcomer, right? And you're not acting like that. But or overcoming Lee would be a better way to say that. But all you got to do is feed your faith more in that area. And so I know I had the privilege of working in Brother Kenneth Hagin's healing school for a number of years. And so we had a morning session, we had an afternoon session. And so, you know, after 10 years of that, it was healing in the morning, healing in the afternoon, healing when the sun went down. I mean, if we weren't ministering healing, we were thinking about healing. We were preparing, we were feeding on it, we were hearing it. And I realized, you know, after a few years of that, I was doing wonderful physically. That I didn't remember the last time I had been sick. And then I had a revelation. I need to feed my faith on finances because I wasn't doing very well in that area. And that's exactly how it works. So whatever you feed the most and exercise, you're going to develop in. And so we have a number of faith messages that we've already ministered for Faith School. And we talked about why you should have faith, how faith comes, how it grows and develops, how it's released. We spent a whole lot of time on faith for healing. And we spent a whole lot of time on overcoming unbelief, finding out what that is. And so now we're talking about faith for provision. We're specifically feeding our faith in the area of abundant provision. And so what we've begun to do now is give 30 rock solid reasons. And reason they're rock solid is because they're scripture. 30 scriptural reasons why we are sure that abundant provision is always God's will for all of us.
Amen.
Hmm? And we're not talking about your opinion or my opinion or a denomination's position or a church's position on this. We're talking about it is written in the Bible. And so we're up to number 3. in our study, so we got a ways to go, but thankfully, we're in no big rush about it. Our first one was, based on this text right here in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Let's look at it again, Psalm 23, verse 1. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, David himself, the psalmist, he was a shepherd, you remember, as a boy. And as a young man. And so he took care of the sheep. He led them. What's the very next phrase? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Well, that's the shepherd leading the sheep, leading the flock to something good to eat, something good to drink. And we also know from David's life, I mean, he physically defended the flock from a bear and from a lion, right? This ain't no small thing. You ever going hand to hand with a bear? I'm not volunteering for it. Woo. You need to know the Lord. And you need to be ready to meet him. But, what was happening is David didn't know it, but the Lord was preparing him for Goliath.
Yes.
And you'll find the Lord, that's how he works. He'll help you to cut your teeth on something a little smaller, right? And a little easier. Not that the bear was easy, but less than a giant trained armed warrior. And so then he had him ready by the time he faced off with Goliath. And all through our life, you'll see that. The Lord will give you something to believe for, and it'll seem challenging to you, but after a few years, you'll look back and go, well, that wasn't that big of a deal, but at the time, it seemed like it was. What has happened, you got stronger. You grew. You developed. Your faith developed. And so he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd, and because David was a good shepherd to his flock didn't go hungry. His flock didn't go thirsty. His flock wasn't caught by the predators and devoured. They were protected. They were provided for. And that's real to David, of course. And he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I was their shepherd, the sheep shepherd, but the Lord's my shepherd. Is he a good shepherd?
Yes.
Well, John 10, Jesus talked about that. He said, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Well, if he'd lay down his life for you, why wouldn't he help you get a place to live?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Or feed you, or clothes to wear. We're talking about provision. If there's anything, Romans 8:32 talks about this. If God didn't spare his own son, but freely, gave him up for us all, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? If there was ever anything that God would say, no, that's too much, it would have been Jesus. It would have been, right, his son. But if the Lord, if the Father give you Jesus, he'll give you a car.
Amen.
Is that right? Or some clothes? Or a place to live. I mean, that's nothing compared to that. And really, when he gave us Jesus, he gave us everything else. He gave us all spiritual blessings.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And everything that pertains to life and godliness. But he's saying, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, that word want is also translated lack. In other places, several other places in the same King James Bible. So listen to some other translations of this. The NIV says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Holman says, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I lack. God's Word translation says, the Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need. Don't you like that? Why are you never in need? Not because you're so smart, not because you're so pretty, not because you work so hard. Help me out. Why? Because the Lord, hallelujah, is my shepherd. Does he have the resources?
Yes.
Does he have the wisdom and, the power? And yes, yes. And because he does, and because he's so big and so great and so wise and so good, I don't do without. Right? Should this give us faith for provision that whatever we need, we'll have it? Yeah. He goes on to say, the BBE says, the Lord takes care of me as his sheep. I will not be without any good thing. The easy to read says, the Lord is my shepherd. I will always have everything I need. Why don't you say that out loud, class? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
I shall not want.
The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I am never in need.
I am never in need.
The Lord is my good shepherd.
The Lord is my good shepherd.
I will always have everything I need.
Have everything I need.
Is it okay to believe that?
Yes.
Is it okay to believe the Bible?
Yes.
It is written. Now, people come up with all kind of ideas. Even, you know, you'll hear different things preached, different things believed, but you want to keep yourself close to the Scriptures, right on the Scriptures. It is believing that and doing that is the solid rock. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So number one reason, we said, is the Lord is my shepherd. The second reason we got into is the goodness of God. Now that, my friend, is a study worth doing. The goodness of God, I encourage you. Do some study on your own. We'll be talking more about it in this series. But go online, faithschool.org, and you can listen to the recent messages we talked about. We are sure it's God's will for us to have abundant provision all the time, because abundance is good.
Yes.
And lack is bad.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now you'll hear people say, well, we don't really know, you know, what we need. Well, if we don't know what's good and what's bad, how could God reasonably expect us to do good? Right? We don't even know what it is. And the Scripture warns and cautions in Isaiah 5. He says, woe unto him that calls good evil and evil good.
Yes.
Well, he must expect that we can understand and know the difference.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Or he wouldn't even say things to us like this. No, like we said before, there are people starving to death on the planet for lack of something decent to eat. Is that bad?
Yes.
Everybody should know that's evil.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's evil. Well, what else is it? Lack.
Yes.
It's lack. They don't have it. Well, if you can't pay your utility bill, that's lack. It's the same evil stuff, just a much lesser degree of it. You get enough lack in your life, you can starve to death. So any degree of the same thing is not going to be good. It's going to still be evil.
Right.
Lack is bad.
Yes.
Abundance is good.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Having something to eat is good.
Yes.
Something to wear, place to stay, way to go, good.
Yes.
All good.
Yes.
Abundance
yes.
is good. Having more than enough is good,
amen.
Right? Because
yes.
not only do you have all your needs met, you can do something for somebody else.
Yes. Amen.
And lack is bad. And so we camped on that for a bit, and I encourage you, go to faithschool.org. You can get the other messages. No charge for any of that. And our third one that we're into now is the fatherhood of God. Go with me to Ephesians, please, the third chapter. Ephesians chapter 3, the fatherhood of God. God has revealed himself not only as the almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, but he's also revealed himself as Father. And Jesus referred to God repeatedly as his Father, as his Father. As his Father. And when he was raised from the dead, Jesus was raised from the dead, and some of the disciples first met him and saw him, he said, go and tell the other disciples that he was ascending. He said to my Father and your Father. My God and your God. Why? Because of what Jesus has done. I have access to the Father, and he is just as much my Father as he is Jesus' Father.
Hallelujah.
Oh my.
Oh,
that's just beyond.
Okay.
And it's not because of anything I've done. It's because of everything Jesus has done.
Yes.
Because my righteousness is not my own. It's his righteousness that I just received.
Yes.
Right? That's what has made you and I acceptable, accepted in the beloved, and that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and say, Abba, Father.
Amen.
It's me, Keith, your boy. says, yeah, I know who you are. Isn't it wonderful?
Yes, sir.
Because otherwise, you know, you and I, most all of us would qualify as the Gentiles outside of the covenants of God. We were nobody going nowhere. Lost, no access, no rights, but the Lord has broken down the wall.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That was between us. Glory to God.
Glory.
Nailed it to his cross, the
yes.
scripture said. Woo, go. I'm about to preach you.
Yeah.
Nailed it to the cross
yes.
and made us heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That makes him my father.
Amen.
How about you?
Amen.
Makes him, if you're a believer, makes the Almighty, the creator of the heaven and earth, your father.
Amen.
Mm-mm-mm.
Hallelujah.
Ephesians 3 talks about this. The Spirit of God through Paul said in Ephesians 3, 14 and 15, he said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Church is not supposed to be just an organization or an institution. It's supposed to be family. Family. And the of course, God the Father is the Father of us all. And Jesus is our Lord and Master and Elder Brother.
Amen.
And then everybody in the church, whether it's the local church or the church universal, is younger ones that just got born again yesterday. And then those that have been growing up in the Lord for the last 40 years, Elder Brother or Sister. And then under shepherds that should be like daddies and mamas, right? Portraying some of the characteristics of the great father. But I know my father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin, this is one of his favorite verses here. And he'd read this and say, "I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." He'd say, "Don't you like that? That's so homey." And it is, right? And the reason we should talk about this is because the error religions of the world are not this way. They are not this way. In a number of other religions, it's blasphemy to call God your father. Blasphemy. It's not allowed. It's not permitted. But Jesus repeatedly referred to God as his father and told us he's our father too.
Amen.
Now you'll hear some people say, "Well, yeah, sure, sure, because he's all of our father." And they're talking about every human being on the planet. And that is not true. That is not true. Jesus told some of the most religious people of his day in John 8, he said, "You are of your father, the devil." So no, people talk about the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of man. That is not true. That is not Bible. That is not right. If you're not born again, you're not in this family. You're not part of this family. It's not a matter of somebody trying to exclude you. It's got nothing to do with your background or gender or where you're from, where you grew up. It has everything to do with how you believe. Do you believe in God, the Creator? Do you believe Jesus is His Son? Do you receive what He's done for you on the cross and resurrection? Do you confess Him as your Lord? Remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and he said, nobody can do the miracles that you've been doing unless God's with you. And Jesus just looked at him and cut through everything and said, "You got to be born again." You know, the Lord will always give you what you need. And he said, "How can you be born again?" And And he talked about the difference between being born of the water of flesh and being born of the Spirit, born from above. You'll hear people today mock about, oh, that's some of those born-again Christians, you know, and they say it with disdain. And you hear people despising the Bible. Well, that's their ignorance, because there's nothing more holy, and there's nothing more wonderful, and there's nothing more powerful, and the only ones that are going to experience eternal life with the Creator are those who have been born again, born from above. And if you haven't been, brother and sister, you don't have to do the work. You don't have to make yourself able to be saved or good enough to be saved. That's why Jesus had to come, because none of us could do that. All you got to do is believe it with your heart and receive it and confess it with your mouth. Let's all do that together. Amen. And if you're watching, say it right out loud. No matter where you are, say it right out loud. If you really believe it in your heart, say, Father God,
Father God,
I do believe in you.
I do believe in you.
You are
the Almighty God.
The great Father. Creator of heaven and earth.
And I acknowledge. We have sinned.
And needed a Savior.
And
you have sent your Son. And he has died on the cross and paid the price for all my sins, all my mistakes, all my failures. And you have raised him from the dead, triumphant over all of it. He is alive again, King of kings, Lord of lords, soon to come again. Jesus,
I believe in you.
I receive you.
And all you have done for me.
I confess you.
As the Lord of my life.
Forever. Thank you for saving me. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody says, is all that necessary? All that hallelujah? Praise God. Yeah, you find out what this is about, you'll be saying something too. This is as good as it gets, is deliverance from death and judgment and hell and eternal life with the great Father God and Jesus, your brother, forever. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Well, our time's up today. Let's say it like we do sometimes. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. Amen and amen and amen. We'll come back tomorrow. There's a lot more we're going to learn about the fatherhood of God. We'll see you soon back here at Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.